Well, it's my great pleasure to welcome into the studio, once again, Nate Wallace, Palmer City Manager. Welcome, Nate.
Thanks. Good to be here.
And today, it's finally arrived, the first day, official first day, as I understand, of Colony Christmas. It goes Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Yep. And we have snow.
And we have snow.
Didn't all blow away.
Yeah. And from what I can see looking ahead, the projection is for no more snow. So we're not going to get any more. Although Anchorage today, I had a report this morning that overnight had a little bit more, but not a lot. And not a great deal of wind. Some winds will be here and there. So
wouldn't be Palmer without a little wind somewhere.
Right. So let's start by saying, how has the city prepared for the onslaught of the hordes of people that are going to descend upon the place?
Well, we know Colony Christmas is a big event for the merchants downtown and for all those that have events. And they do come into one place, primarily the downtown area. A lot of people come in and out. So with the snow last week, there was some concern that we might still have some ice on the roads, so got ahead of that early on, but spent most of the week trying to clean up where we could. Actually, we have a crew now that can scrape some of the sidewalks so that we have clear areas, not just the downtown along Colony Alaska Street, but out towards the senior center, so people want to walk from the senior center events there to the borough building to the gym, so the pathways so that you can walk if it's not too cold or too windy to areas besides the downtown. So that's the first piece. The other is, of course, just the normal keeping the streets clean. The parade route's a little different in the winter than it is in the summer, so we won't be blocking off parking.
And the parade is on Saturday. The
parade's Saturday night.
And starts at what time?
I believe it's 5.
5 o'clock, right. So it'll get slightly dark, and then the parade begins. It's not as lengthy as the one that happens in the summertime. Not sure I've ever measured it exactly, but it's a parade.
It's a parade. Yeah. It'll come down it's pretty much the same route, but because it's folks sit in their cars because it's cold, mm-hmm. It's a little different, and it's a parade of lights, so you won't have as many walking. There'll be some out there walking, but not as many as you would see in the summer.
Right.
Walking type attractions. I think I last heard there was 40.
Oh, that's a bunch.
Participants. So it'll be a pretty good sized parade.
Okay. Now, around here, you have not yet spoken of the P word, parking.
Nope.
What kind of recommendations would you have for the people, especially if someone's coming from a distance that has to come into town and then park, and then there's all these different places to go to? What are we looking at?
Well, there's on-street parking, which is limited. Some of the business owners downtown have parking lots. Mm-hmm. Fred Myers has a large parking lot, but that's one of the issues I see with Palmer is we're starting to have more and more visitors, mm-hmm. but we don't have public parking to a large scale. So it's street parking along some of the residential areas, even when we get along, talk about Cedar and Dogwood and Birch in that area.
So my guess is particularly towards this evening and then all day tomorrow, maybe the recommendation to people is get a if you come in relatively early, dress properly. So even though we're looking at what are reasonable temperatures, et cetera, walking around with a lot of stops, there are a lot of warm places, open houses and so on to go in. But don't plan on moving your vehicle around.
No, if you've got a good spot, you probably won't have it if you move your car. But as you mentioned, there are a lot of places in town that will have warming, welcome you in to have a cup of cocoa or warm yourself up as you browse through, or just visit while you're in town.
And a couple of the centers that I note, actually I think of three. The Palmer Museum of History and Art, of course, is a major location. Actually, four, but that's they're going to be open and welcome people. There's also the Palmer Depot, which has a large collection of people, vendors of all sorts, et cetera, yes. In there. And that's a good a place. Interestingly enough, I think the Palmer Library, I know there are various groups going to be doing things to the library, in the library room. I know on Saturday, Palmer Soromakai put in a push there. Is going to be doing what they do so well, and that is the folding of cranes. If you've never done that, that's a good place to go. That starts about 12 and runs for a couple hours. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, there's the Borough Gym.
Yes.
Yeah. Have I missed any big place?
The Senior Center.
Oh, of course.
So they've got events going on there as well, and they've got a lot of parking available there.
Right. Right. And that's one place you can actually go and drive to.
Yes.
And it's a little bit off the center area. And also, there are two others. The Veterans and Pioneer Home has some viewing of gingerbread houses and things like that. Mm-hmm. That's another place.
Yes.
But in between, we have all of those establishments that are commercial businesses, one sort or the other, open houses, et cetera. There's even... I know it down at Silvertip, toward the north end of the business district, there are some activities there. And I guess what I'm struck by when I read through all of these is I counted maybe 50 different things that someone could do as an activity, not just as a shopping experience.
No, yes, it's more than just shopping. There's a lot to do for the young and old.
Right.
The Moose Lodge will be hosting a couple of events as well. So that's on the, not downtown, but it's got a, you can walk there.
Yep.
You can park there and walk into town. Yeah. But a lot of our buildings have behind the building parking too.
Right.
Folks, I don't say outsiders. Now, folks that don't necessarily visit Palmer very often.
Right.
But you can, the Kozlowski building parking is actually, the majority of their parking is behind the building.
Sure. Sure. And in many ways, those parking spaces are nicely located to allow you to move around and do things.
Yes.
And I noticed this morning, I think the biggest sign that something different was happening was there were barrels in the center of town, and there were what appeared to be barricades that will be put up when the parade happens as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
Last year, we didn't have trash cans out for whatever reason. Well, the reason is historically we don't have a lot of trash cans out because they blow down the road, but
right.
But we've made sure that
there are
ways to get rid of trash this year.
Okay, and is there some weight at the bottom of these trash cans or something that they're standing there not moving?
We have the stone garbage cans that don't typically blow away.
Ah,
so those are out. We'll be out all winter this year.
Good.
We've put out some black and gold barrels that are in our parks normally in the summer, and some of those do have weights on the bottom, so they
good.
Go off.
Good.
But they're relatively heavy just to begin with.
Okay. All right. So that's the story. Colony Christmas begins today, actually about 10 a.m. seems to be the time when...
I think it's the first kickoff with one of the events.
Right. And then it goes on through and then all day Saturday and then into Sunday. And Sunday, I know we had someone in talking about the choral presentation at at one of the churches Sunday afternoon as well.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, it goes through Sunday. It doesn't stop on Saturday after the fireworks.
That's right. And fireworks... what time are the fireworks? They come right after the parade?
Right after the parade, 15 yeah. minutes after the parade.
Okay.
So the parade grows, the fireworks will be delayed.
Okay. Well, you have mentioned Fred Meyer, and each time you come in, I have to ask about the status. I know you were here just recently, but the two Fred Meyers, old Fred Meyers and about to be new Fred Meyers. The new Fred Meyers looks like it's on track. You mentioned that in the spring, we should be able to go over there and it'll be operational. Any update at all on the old Fred Meyers?
No, not yet. The still Fred Meyers. I haven't heard any indication of what might be going in there or what their plans are with it, other than they've indicated they'd like to sell it.
Okay. All right.
March 3rd is their projected grand opening.
Okay.
So you can put that date on the calendar.
We've got that. Now, I was over at I know that you have been very actively involved with the budget process, a couple of special meetings this week, and looking toward final approval for the City of Palmer's budget next week.
Is that next week, December 13th. We have one more special session at 6 on at 6 on the 13th.
Okay.
And then they can't approve it during a special session, but I project that they'll approve it on the following meeting at 7.
Okay. So it sounds like you put a lot of work into this, and it's on track to become the budget for next year. Now, I do know that I was over on Tuesday. Oh, you're having a special meeting, I believe. I was over at the regular assembly meeting. So I know that you weren't going to be there because you were doing something else.
Yes.
But the I did hear them say, and perhaps you've had this communicated as well, that they're, they have finally come to some agreement on the dispatch center, and they were coming to you with the proposal for a completion of that effort.
I don't know about the future for dispatch, but for the midterm, on the 20th, they'll be discussing the extension of our contract.
Right.
And I'm not sure what to what degree they'll be discussing with the Wasilla contract.
Right. I think they, my memory of that is that they sort of lumped those two as important, both important topics that will be dealt with together and make that happen.
Yes. I don't think that the staff can present an extension to Palmer without explaining why and what the future looks like. So I think that's why that's, they're going to present at least some portion of the future.
Okay. Okay. And then they'll have moved on with that. I know the assembly has been dealing with a number of interesting issues, and I look forward to being at that last meeting before Christmas. And this is your last meeting before Christmas, too.
We've got one scheduled for the 27th, but it's on the agenda to be canceled if the budget gets passed. So.
Oh, okay. Okay, and that's pretty much been a tradition.
It has been,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, during that that time, the Christmas times. So this seems to be a mild winter, and in many respects, I don't want to say a mild time, but I'm not hearing a lot of big controversy and or big issues. I mean, the dispatch center change is a big change.
Yes,
no doubt about that. I know that there have been some very large projects on. Looking into the future that involve infrastructure. How's all that going along? It seems to have slipped at least off the front page.
A lot of it's because of funding. A lot of our projects have been funded by state grants, state loans. Majority of our infrastructure for the last 10 years, when we looked back, about $49 million worth of infrastructure in the last 10 years, and $8 million of that was city money and $41 million was federal and state money. So as the state has had to tighten its belt, especially its capital budget, basically down to nothing but federal matching dollars in that area, it's dwindled down. But because we started early, there's always something we could improve or replace. But we're not to the point where we see some of our sister cities in the lower 48 that are just in a crisis mode. I mean, Flint is the one that comes to mind because it's hit the news, but they are just the ones that are in the news. There's other places that are aging infrastructure. When you look at Palmer, how long we've been a city, we're pretty young compared to the East Coast. Our infrastructure, even though we've been able to get ahead of it and replace it, is still relatively young compared to other places. So there's not a lot of things that we have to do because it's fallen apart. And that's been kind of the focus of our discussions for capital this last week was maintenance, long-term maintenance. Let's put money in our capital budget for roads maintenance. Let's put money in our budget for equipment to maintain what we have, as opposed to waiting for a road to deteriorate and then asking for funding from some other source to replace it. Let's maintain it, invest in it so it'll last a little longer. But as far as large projects, we've still got two to go next year. One is the airport repaving.
Right.
And then the wastewater treatment plant, the plant itself upgrade.
Okay, and this one was in some respects being directed by DEC or other parties.
The wastewater treatment plant upgrade has been ongoing for about 10 years. Discussions mm-hmm. with DEC and most recently with EPA, and we came to an agreement with both entities, but it was through a court ordered consent decree.
Okay. And the road construction, which has been something that many citizens have been aware of over the years, seems to be finished, what can people expect as they roll into this next year in terms of road construction? Is there anything large on the agenda?
No, within the Palmer for city work, again, most of the street work was as a result of replacing water lines, and because the roads were torn up at that point, part of that was to take them back to their original condition, and in some cases, we're able to actually pave roads that were gravel. But that work is now completed. There'll be some landscaping done next year because we finished up in the fall. But within the city, shouldn't expect to see any road work going on. The state, though, is going to finish up, or at least continue with the Palmer-Wasilla, the eastern terminus, which is getting closer and closer to Palmer.
Right.
Expect that to get to Timmer, maybe beyond, up to the top of the hill, depending on how it goes.
Oh, really?
So that we can expect to see some more work on Palmer-Wasilla Highway next year.
Okay, but not down to the Glen.
I don't expect it to come to the Glen next year. I think the closest I think it may get would be to the Tsunami Center, maybe that far.
Oh, okay.
But it's up to the state on how where they progressed.
Is there any work that's necessary to change access, given that the new Fred Meyer's store is much larger, even though the parking area is, I would anticipate maybe more traffic into that zone, but
well, they're tied into the same intersection to the light up there. When the terminus comes all the way to the Glen, and when the Glen project goes the other direction, there's some additional work to be done. But initially, no, they've got the Dogwood entrance,
right,
which is kind of a back entrance, which is also controlled by a stoplight, and then the Roland Memorial will also have an access point.
Okay. Now, when we talk about roadways, particularly in the winter, and what I've noticed looking out the window, the front window of our home, is that the street light that's up there is LED.
Yes.
And I'm thinking, I don't remember when the changeover happened, but I know it's LED and it's bright and light, et cetera. And of course, recently there's been a discussion in Anchorage about a very extensive increase in the use of LED, particularly what is referred to as smart grid LEDs. Where do we stand here in Palmer with LED lights outside?
Well, we started LED lights a couple of years ago, but it's not a complete overhaul like the Anchorage is proposing. Mm-hmm. Anchorage is proposing almost a $3.2 million project. This year they've discussed $1.6 million to replace over 4,000 lights.
Right.
But they are looking to the smart light, which is, my understanding, wireless. So they have the infrastructure to support that. They'll be able to tell if a light's out.
Right.
The other piece is it's dimmable. LEDs are somewhat brighter.
Right.
So they can either dim them or bright them depending on an event in that area or if there's a citizen complaint about a light being too bright. And we've gone through the approach we're going to do it over time.
Mm-hmm.
One is because it's expensive. We've invested about $60,000 a year for the last 2 years. The council bumped that this year, and they're in an amendment to my proposal to almost $100,000 to go towards lights. And it costs about $60,000 to do a load center, and that'll get us about 80 lights.
Okay.
So next year we're looking to replace close to probably just shy of 200, depending on which ones we replace. But we're not going with the smart system. There's a cost to that. It'd be nice to have it, but again, when we look at the size of our city, we get huge payoff by converting from the sodium to the LED. The cost of the, and it's just recent, and we've just barely scratched the surface on the research, but there's not an intention at this point to go with the SIMS system that Anchorage is looking at.
So do you have, first of all, any idea of the ROI, return on investment? Because very, very often the calculations are, the operation costs are so much lower, you essentially pay for your investment in X amount of time. Any sense of that?
Depending on the area and how many lights there are, we're looking at about 3 years, which is not too bad for something of that nature.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a huge energy savings, almost 50% on our light bills when we switch those out.
Okay, then the second piece, you alluded to this, any reaction from people who noticed the lights, unlike me, who said, there's a light out there, it's LED, and not really having noticed it as being a problem of any sort?
No, not that. Public Works may have gotten some calls. It hasn't elevated to my area. One of the things that, and it's just the nature of our weather right now, it's darker because we don't have the reflection of the snow.
Oh, right.
So having a bright light may not be as noticeable now because we don't have all the reflection. And it's been that way for the last couple of years. But having that, when we do get the snow, it may be just we're easing into it. And now we're used to those lights on the pole being bright, but not so much brighter in the area. But it's one of the things we have to consider when we do replace those lights, that they are brighter.
Okay.
But haven't had an outcry. Some of our lights have been so dim. Even now, some of our sodium lights are more yellow than they are bright.
Right. Right, that's true.
And just don't provide the safety and the security that folks want to see. The reason we have street lights, one, so that you can see when you drive on these dark roads, but the other is just having a presence and having a sense of security when you go out, you're not stumbling around.
Okay, and these are decisions made and funded by the city, and there's no requirement for. Have you had requests from areas for changes in this, or are you pretty much doing it from the central point of view?
We're doing it from a cost standpoint. Which load centers are the most expensive, have the most lights on them, and then working our way down.
Okay,
we've had requests for streetlights to be installed in some areas that don't have as many. We've looked at where the lights are. We think LEDs in those areas may help. Once we get those switched out, then we'll consider doing an assessment if we need to put more lights there after that's been done. But we haven't had anybody request specifically to switch over from LED to
my imagination runs to the big deal about the LEDs, and we've been noticing this, and I've recently visited someone who's big into this in terms of having home lights, playing with it. All the rest is, not only are LEDs dimmable, but you can change their color. You can, I understand that for a street light it might be a white light, etc., and so on. But there's a lot about changing depending upon the ambiance, what you want. It's Christmas, we have green light. It's just it's a very different world. It's not. I think the technology we're talking about introduces a whole range of different things, and ultimately, at some point, I'm going to guess that smart grid will come to Palmer, and will have proven either inexpensive enough and demonstrate a kind of a benefit that warrants a changeover. We'll be watching a variety of smaller and larger communities that are doing this. And of course, when we're talking about lights, we're also talking about all the other utilities that are provided by a power company who ultimately say, well, there are different times when you would want to use power in your house, and you'll have a differential cost depending upon when you run that washer, dryer, dishwasher, whatever other kinds of thing that's consuming electricity. And if you just adjust it a bit, and a lot of people do it, it dramatically evens out and utilizes the energy at a lower cost.
Yep.
You know, those are very crazy, interesting things.
Yeah, there's places that have peak rates and then non-peak rates. I'm not sure that we're there. I haven't noticed it in my bill, but it does change the nature of how you do things. My previous experience at Kellogg's, we did have to consider that in the operations. It was a 24/7 plant, and as the power company was working towards having peak rates, which would have been during the day, which was high production, we were looking at having to shift potentially to save money on electricity production to the night shift.
Right.
So it does, from an environmental standpoint, it's great if you can do that. Otherwise, you're paying a lot of money for electricity during peak hours when
you might
be able to save money by just rethinking how you do business.
Right. Well, as always, it was very interesting to have you in here, an update, particularly with Colony Christmas. As we come to the end, we have about a minute left to... You have any things that we have not mentioned that you want to make sure listeners hear?
The City Hall will be closed the day after Christmas.
Okay.
And the day after New Year's. So if you've got city business that you need to conduct, make sure that you don't save it for those 2 days.
All right.
But other than that, we've covered quite a bit.
Yep.
Lots going on in Palmer this weekend.
All right. Okay. We'll get out there and enjoy it. And thank you again, Nate Wallace, City Manager for the City of Palmer, for coming in today.